Supposing there is a thief and he finds out that he's living next to a very, very rich man who has in his safe thousands of gold coins locked up. The man has a safe, he has security, but now this thief wants to get at those gold coins. So day and night, that's all he's thinking of. How can I get it? How can I get it? How can I reach it? He checks the security. What are the obstacles that I have to overcome? He goes in as a handyman. I've come to repair something, checks out the safe. And so he does anything and everything to reach that. And again, whether he succeeds or not depends on the intensity and sincerity of his desire, of his effort. So the Bhagavad Gita tells us that that is how our intensity and desire for the Lord should be. Constantly I should be thinking about. Constantly that should be my number one thought. That should be my number one goal. How can I reach that treasure that's lying within us, the Lord himself? And what are the obstacles? Just as there is security, so there are obstacles on my spiritual path. Obstacles like the vasanas, the tendencies, the selfishness, the desire for the world, as we have seen in this chart, as a BMI, I with the body, I perceive the objects, with the mind, I feel the emotions, and with the intellect, I think the thoughts, and then vasanas are my desires or tendencies, which are the obstacle between me and God. Vasanas, my selfish desires, push me towards the world. And so all my efforts are in acquiring, possessing more objects, more emotional satisfaction, more knowledge. But I go away from the Lord who is within and without. So my goal should be constant, just as the thief is thinking of nothing else. And that is how that is the only way to reach. He cannot say, I'm going to think of it only 1 hour on Sundays. You know, I cannot say I come for 1 hour Gita class on Sunday and that's all, I'm done. Or 5 minutes in the morning, I just pray. No, he's not going to do that. He's not going to say 5 minutes in the morning and 1 hour on Sunday. Day and night, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, he's planning how to acquire that treasure. So that should be the goal of a spiritual seeker. Constant thinking and then constant effort. And what is the effort? Effort is service, which we'll talk about today. Today's topic is Karma Yoga. With the body, I serve the Lord. With the mind, I love the Lord. And with the intellect, I know about the Lord. And that's how I dissolve my vasanas. So that's what we'll talk about today. And mostly the topic today is Karma Yoga. Because so far we have seen in the Bhagavad Gita that it starts with there are two branches of a family, the Pandavas who are good and the Kauravas who are evil. And the evil cousins have stolen the kingdom from the good. They have cheated them. They have tried to kill them. They are bad for the country. And when negotiations do not work, these people consistently cheat and exploit, then there is no other choice but to fight the war. And here we see the scene of Arjuna, who is our hero, who is the student, and Krishna, who is the teacher. And Arjuna, right at the time of the war, gets deluded and says, I don't want to fight because war is bad. And then the whole message of Krishna is that you have to do your duty. In the case of Arjuna, he had to fight against evil. In our case, we don't have to fight against evil. But the Mahabharata war is not only occurred 8,000 years ago in history, occurs constantly in our mind, because our mind has good and evil both tendencies. The good are the Pandavas, the evil are the Kauravas. And if we invoke the Lord, as in this case, the Lord was on the side of the good. And if we invoke the Lord, then the good will triumph. So that is what we have studied so far. And in the first few verses of the teaching, Krishna tells Arjuna that all of us are not this body, mind and intellect. That is our equipment. All of us are Om, the divine consciousness, the divinity. And that is the reality of everybody, whether it's a plant or an animal or a bird or a fish or a human, all of us are that divinity. And if you know you are that divinity, then you never perish. What perishes is the body. So think about that and do not worry about death. And then he also tells him that as a soldier, it is his duty to fight for good against evil. And if he doesn't do it, he will be going away from his duty and people will remember him as a person who ran away. And we talked in detail about that last week. Those of you who missed can listen to the website, firstpower.info, the last week's talk. Also, there were a lot of jokes last week, so if you want to hear good jokes. So anyway, so today now we'll continue where now Krishna is bringing a new topic, the teacher, and the topic is of karma yoga or service. So what is karma yoga? We'll talk about that and how to practice it. So that is the verse today. As many as we can do, the three verses all are very powerful and might need some discussion. So verse number 38, chapter 2, verse number 38. Sukha-dukhe same kritva, labha-labhau jaya-jayau, tato yuddhaya yujyasva, naivam papam avapsyasi. So he says, how should we work in the world? That is what the teacher is telling us. Sukha dukkhe. Sukha means joy. Dukkha means sorrow. Also means pleasure and pain. Same. Same, actually the word same means same. So it's spelled the same in English. It says same in Hindi. Same. S-A-M-E. So sukha dukkha same kritva. So remain the same. Remain balanced in joy and sorrow, pleasure and pain, labha alabha, gain and loss, and jaya ajaya, victory and defeat. So in life, we are faced with two different, these are called dvandva or pair of opposites. I may get joy or I may get sorrow. I may get pleasure, I may get pain. I may get success, I may get failure. I may have gain, I may have loss. So the teacher is telling us, remain the same, remain balanced in this pair of opposites. Tato, then, yuddhaya yujyasva, fight because that is your duty. So again, Gita is not a book of war. He's talking to a warrior and telling him to do his duty. It is a situational. So at this moment, we are not fighting a war against any enemies. But we are fighting the war within against our negativities, and in the world we have problems, we have conflicts. So he says, do your duty, whatever you are assigned to do, whether you're a father or a mother or a man or a woman or a doctor or an engineer or a student, do whatever. Na evam, in this way, na papam ap avapsyasi, you shall not commit any sin. You shall not have any sinful actions. So let us see what he means by these pair of opposites. Why does he choose these particular pair of opposites? Sukha dukha, labha labha, jaya ajaya. So sukha, pleasure and pain, or joy and sorrow. And then the second is gain and loss. And the third is victory and defeat. So joy and sorrow, or pleasure and pain, are at the mind level. In the mind, I feel joy, I feel sorrow, I feel pleasure, I feel pain. So that is a mental activity. And at the intellect level, labha and alabha, gain and loss. I gained this, I lost it. So the intellect, when it gains, gets happy. When it loses, gets unhappy. And at the body level, jaya ajaya, victory and defeat. So I win something, I lose something. Or at also other places they have said is sama shatrau cha mitre cha tatha man apman yoho shitoshna sukha dukkheshu samasanga vivarjita. So at the body level it could be heat and cold. It could be health and ill health. Again, joy and sorrow, success and failure, and then enemies and friends. See, we have all these. So a wise person is the same. Even if somebody considers him an enemy, he still loves that person, even if somebody considers him a friend. Now, how can I be the same in all these situations? How can I remain balanced? Because life is going to be full of problems. So how can I be balanced? Now, this is an introduction to Karma Yoga. Karma is activity. Yoga comes from yuj. Yuj means united. So an activity which is united with the higher. It could be, higher could be the Lord. I'm working for the Lord, or I'm working for my country, or I'm working for my church or my community. So any activity where I and my is reduced and we, that's why they say the most dangerous word in the English language is I, and the best word is we. And then the third one is ego. So there's one, two, and three. So stay away from I, cultivate we, and destroy ego. So, and then the fourth is love. So it goes on like that. So the point is that this chapter 2 is considered to be a summary of the Bhagavad Gita. Just as when a speaker is going to speak, he or she will first outline, okay, in my presentation today, this is what I'm going to talk about. And then the speaker talks for an hour or hour and a half. And at the end, he or she summarizes, what have I said in this particular talk? So here also the Lord in the second chapter gives us an introduction or a summary of what he's going to say. And then he actually says it in verse in chapters 13 to 17. And then in the 18th chapter, he summarizes. So here he's introducing the topic of Karma Yoga. As we said, karma is activity. Yoga is dedicated to the higher. Karma actually meant something different in Vedas. And we'll talk about that in the next verse. So how can I go beyond pleasure or pain? You know, pleasure will come and should I not get happy? And then pain comes, should I not get unhappy? The point is that if you are seeking pleasure, you should be ready that the same thing could give me pain. A person I loved so much, and then what happens? You know, it could happen that the relationship can sour. Same thing, I buy a new car or a new house. In the beginning, it gives me a lot of joy. But as it becomes old, it creates problems. So anything, a friendship, initially it may be a lot of pleasure. But then I have to be ready that maybe this same friendship could give me pain. So how do I overcome that? By making the intellect dominant over the mind. Mind or intellect, the intellect has to be dominant. Because whenever we get some disappointment, some sorrow, some pain, it's the mind that gets shaken up. And then the mind says, let's run away, let's not. But what they say is that intellectually, I should know that when I'm working in life, I have to be ready. Always things are not going to be conducive. I have to remain calm. I have to remain balanced. And that can only happen when I have this right knowledge, when I have studied the Bhagavad Gita, when I have studied from a teacher like Swami Chinmayananda, this knowledge, then and then alone I can remain balanced. What we do is we look for approval from people. Oh, this person should like me, this person should approve me. So they say if you're ready for approval, then also be ready for disapproval. Yes, one day this person approves and second day he doesn't. There's a very beautiful saying, trushta and rushta. So it in Sanskrit says, kshane trushta, kshane rushta, trushta rushta, kshane kshane. So this person at one moment, he is very happy. Ah, trushta, he's happy with you. Next moment, rushta, he's angry, he's unhappy. And moment to moment, people change. People change, situations change, weather changes. It was so foggy and cold. And I remember Vimalji just this week, he taught us. He said, this also is Prajapati. It is also the Lord. So don't criticize the cold, because the cold is the Lord. And when it is 110 in the July, that also is the Lord. So see the Lord in everything. Otherwise, we say, why is it so cold? Why is it so hot? Oh, it's terrible. No, everything, and we need all weathers for farming. You know, we depend so much on farming. If there is no heat and cold, crops are not going to grow. So see the Lord in everything. When the leaves are falling, that is the Lord. When the flowers are blooming in the spring, that is the Lord. See the Prajapati, see the Creator in everything. And what they say is that, like in sports, now both teams cannot win. Now, you know, we are going to have a Super Bowl. Both teams are not going to win. One is going to win, one is going to lose. But if you go in with the idea that I have to win, I have to win beforehand, then you could be disappointed. What you have to say is, before I get into the sport, I say I'm ready. If I win, great. If I don't win, I'll try better next time. So getting depressed or dejected is the sure way to have stress. So I did my best. I struggled hard. We're not saying you don't work hard, but at the end of the day, the result is not in my hand. The result is not, you can say it's in the Lord, but it is in the totality. Maybe the other team prepared better, or maybe I had bad luck on that day. Something happened, you know, the last play of the game, some things go right or things go wrong. And one has to be ready for both. They're like two sides of a coin. You cannot flip and the coins every time head should come. No, if it's sometimes a head, sometimes it's tail. So life will give us both. And one has to be ready and face the situation and realize that life will give us that, but I am calm. And how do I stay calm? By connecting with the Lord within. That is the only way. If you're disconnected, then you will be like a up and down. That's why Gurudev says, be like a lighthouse. Don't be like a log of wood. See, a log of wood, when waves come, goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. But a lighthouse stays firm. And no matter how many waves hit the lighthouse is not disturbed. Not only that, but the lighthouse is a guide for all others. It brings ships in. So a wise person is like a lighthouse. No matter what situations come, he or she remains calm and is a guide for others. That's all these great teachers, like Swami Chinmayananda, Jesus, Buddha, all these great prophets, that's what they taught us. And how do I face the problems? You see, the main problem is due to ego, due to I and my. Now, so the battle, Arjuna was fighting against the evil, but in our case, our battle is against the ego, against the enemy called the ego, which is I and my selfishness. Now, ego has three soldiers. See, in the olden days, you know, there were three kinds of soldiers. There were the infantry, the ones who walked on the ground. There was cavalry who rode on the horses. And then there was the elephants, those who rode on elephants. Of course, they didn't have missiles and bombs. They fought with bows and arrows and spears. So there are three kinds of enemy you could face. Either their soldiers are coming on foot, or they're coming on horse, or they're coming on the elephants. So ego has three, the infantry, its soldiers are the fear. Because I'm afraid, and cavalry, the horses are the anger, and then the most powerful elephant is the lust. Because I have fear, then I get angry. And when I get angry, why? Because I want. I'm afraid I will lose it and I will desire it. So these are the three enemies that we have to constantly watch out against: fear, anger, and lust. And unless you are alert, just as the enemy, they can overtake you or capture you. So one has to be very alert and constantly watch out. If these things arise in my mind, if there's fear, if there's anger, if there's lust. Lust means excessive desire for anything, not necessarily only for the opposite sex, but any excessive desire. Could be for money, could be for power. Like they say, he has a lust for power, where he will do anything to win the election. He will cheat anybody. He will. So he says that once you are balanced in heat and cold, joy and sorrow, success and failure, and you do your duty, na evam papam avapsyasi, you will not commit any sin. So the word sin has two different connotations. Of course, they say that in Christianity, they say we are born out of sin. So the way we interpret sin is not the act of conception, but sin is vasanas. So we'll talk about that. So sin can be at the body level, at the speech level, or at the mind level. So at the body level, I could slap somebody, or if I have a gun, I could shoot them. So that is a sin at the body level. Speech level is when I speak something which is hateful, something which is, putting another person down or making them feel inferior. That is sin at the speech level. And at the mind level, even thinking negative thoughts. If I think negative about somebody, oh, these people are all like that, or such a person is that, or I start prejudging, then that also is a sinful activity. So at the speech level, we can control. At the body level, maybe I can control. But how do I control my thoughts? Thoughts keep on arising. So they say, in fact, Sharad was just asking before the class, so how do thoughts arise? Thoughts arise in the intellect and then become emotions in the mind and actions in the body due to vasanas. Due to vasanas, which are my tendencies, not only accumulated in this life, but from multiple lifetimes. Tendencies or desires, selfish tendencies. So one has to handle at the vasana level. You cannot control your mind just by forcing yourself. I won't, like if I tell you, whatever you do, don't think about bananas. Now, can you not think about bananas? No. So similarly, if I say, I won't think negative. No, you have to reduce your selfish vasanas. And how do you do that? By connecting with the Lord. Only by knowing that I am a divine creature. I am a creation of the Lord. I am Lord himself. All of us are that divinity incarnate. But we have forgotten it. That's what the Gita tells us, that you have forgotten. You all are divine. You all are children of God. But we have forgotten that. So once you connect, then and then alone you can improve your vasanas. Then and then alone you can control your thoughts. So the sin is vasana. So why were we born? We were born because of our vasanas. Because we forgot who we are. We forgot who we are. We are all the divinity. And because of our selfish vasana. So the sin is not the act of conception. Sin is vasanas, forgetfulness. Forgetting who you are and acting like an ordinary individual. All of us are children of God. But we act like criminals. We act like dishonest people. And that is the sin. And that is what we have to overcome. And karma yoga, or acting unselfishly for the Lord, is the best way to do that. Because when I work unselfishly for others, I reduce my selfishness, my vasanas. And the same thing we need to teach our children. Because it's at the childhood level that this knowledge has to be inculcated. And that's why Gurudev started Bal Vihar. And as we know, we have 160 children who come here every Sunday, and there are thousands, you know, there are 300 such centers, and there are thousands of children throughout the world. So this teaching, of course, we also need to learn. And that's another thing people hear everywhere, they do that. They drop the children and then they go shopping or they go to play golf. I don't need to learn. You need to teach my children. And that also, in my opinion, is wrong, because we think we know. When I started, when we started going to Chinmaya Mission in the early 90s, we were surprised how little we know. We thought we knew Hinduism, we thought we knew the scriptures, but it takes 20, 25, 30 years of effort before one can learn. So constant effort is required in this direction, and constant study. So it doesn't come overnight. This knowledge will not come overnight. Comes with effort, comes with study, comes with contact with saints, mahatmas, wise people. And only then does this knowledge come. So working for others reminds me of a story. So there was this man who used to go to the bar every Friday night at 7 o'clock. Every Friday night at 7 o'clock. and he orders three beers. He says, "I want three beers." Bartender says, "Sir, why do you want three at one time? Take one and then I'll have a second and then a third." "No, I want all three together," and then he will drink all three. So bartender says, "This is a strange thing. Why do you do that?" He says, "You know, it's what happened." He was in California. He says, "You know, we have three brothers. And every Friday at 7 o'clock, we used to meet at the bar. And that's how our way of socializing. We'll sit together and drink a beer." And so they moved. One moved to Colorado, one moved to New Mexico. But we promised each other that every Friday, we'll, wherever we are, we'll 7 o'clock, we'll go to a bar and each one will have three beers. That way we remember each other and keep close. Bartender said, "Wow, that's so great. That's very nice. You're remembering your brothers." And so he gives them three beers. Every Friday he comes, every Friday, 6 months. And then he one day he asked for only two. He said, "I only want two beers." So bartender feels sad. He says, "Maybe one of the brothers passed away or something." He gives him two beers. He says, "I'm so sorry, you know, you only want two." He said, "Why are you sorry?" "No, no, you only want two beers. Is one of your brother passed away?" He says, "No, no, my brothers are fine." He says, "Why are you asking for two?" He says, "I joined the Baptist church and I had to quit drinking." So he's working for others. So the point is that the attitude is very important, with which attitude I work in the world. So this is an introduction to Karma Yoga, how to work unselfishly, dedicating activities to the Lord. And the next two verses will talk more about this. So any questions, any comments? Yes.
Maybe you can further clarify my question on, again, on the omission, commission, and a sinner thought of the mind.
Right.
I think the body speech can be relatively overcome, but when we do meditation, for example, there's a common example of the parade of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the thoughts, one leads to the other, and the
yes.
domino effect. And then you just let them go by.
Right.
So in this thoughtfulness or sin of a thought, if I say at work, I think of some ill will on a person at work.
Right.
They did something.
Right.
So do I just let that thought go? Or at what point is that thought considered sinful or bad?
Okay. I think commission and omission is relatively easy to explain. Commission is when I do something wrong that I should not have done. Say I hurt somebody, or I, you know, speak evil to somebody, or I steal, or I cheat. And that is sin of commission. Sin of omission is not doing what I was supposed to do. Like I'm supposed to take care of my parents as they get old. And if I don't do that, and if I neglect them, or if I ill-treat, you know, if I'm supposed to take good care of my children and I don't do that, I don't give them the right education, I just neglect them. So not doing my, or at work, I'm supposed to do a particular project, I don't do that, and then I blame somebody else. So that is both. I have not done what I'm supposed to do, and then I blame somebody else. So this one is sin of omission, another one is sin of commission. So not doing what I'm supposed to do is omission. Commission is doing what I should not have done. The thoughts is a very good question, and it's very difficult. I think those of us who meditate, we all know that thoughts will arise. And especially when you do not want them to arise, they will arise. So how do I control the thoughts? First of all, in meditation, you can control the thought by systematically doing what we are supposed to do. So you sit, you close your eyes, you relax your body, you observe your breath, and you chant the mantra, Om, or whatever your mantra is, and slowly it quietens the mind. But when thoughts still arise, especially the thought of ill will, actually any negative thought is a sin. If I'm thinking negative, there's a Muniji who comes once a year. He hasn't come this year. His health is not that good. But he used to say that anytime you have an angry thought, it is a sinful thought, a thought of anger, a thought of hatred. So right away you have committed a sinful act. It's not as bad as speaking or hurting somebody, but it is still a negative thought. So how do I do any thoughts that arise? First, I have to become aware that this negative thought has arisen in me. So when a negative thought arises, I have done something wrong. Not to punish yourself or blame yourself, but become aware. Yes, there is something wrong which is happening. Then what do? You witness the thought. Why is this thought arising? So you go to the root of the thought. Why is this thought arising? And that can only happen when you witness it. If you are in the thought will take you for a ride. Like if you're in the Kern River, when it is full, you will be taken for a ride, you will be destroyed. But if you stand on the banks of the river, you can watch the flow of the river and enjoy the beauty. So also the thoughts, if I am in the thought, and the thought will take me for a ride, but if I can be a witness, and that's what we practice in meditation. We have class Thursday evening where we meditate, and one of the best techniques is to be a witness or a sakshi. Just as you talked about the parade, I've given this example before. Suppose your house is on Park Avenue in Manhattan and you can watch the Macy's parade going by, and you don't have a son or daughter in the parade, and you stand and watch it. And as you watch, you are not involved. You're just enjoying the flow of the parade. And when the parade ends, you alone remain as the watcher. I alone remain standing on my balcony, the parade. So thoughts will come and go like a parade, but if I get involved in the thought, it will take me for a ride. But if I can stand and watch the thought, okay, now an angry thought has come, now a hateful thought has come, now a loving thought. So be a witness, be uninvolved, and the more you connect with the Lord, automatically your vasanas, thoughts arise from negative vasanas. So when there is selfishness, when there is anger, when there is greed, when there is, all arise from negative. So only way is to connect with the Lord and say, oh Lord, only you can. So dedicate your activities to the Lord. And secondly, another important thing is that see the Lord in everybody. Just as I said, the summer is also the Lord, winter is also the Lord, the good person is also the Lord, and the evil is also the Lord. Everyone is the Lord. The difference between the good and evil is the vasanas or tendency. So this person may have done a lot of wrong to you at work. So you say, okay, this person has done wrong. So if I can fix it, I fix it. But inside I have no hatred towards that person. So being aware that there is a divinity in all and connecting with that divinity is the way to control the thoughts. And being a witness. Thoughts can only be controlled by being a witness and practice that. Swami Ishwarananji, who comes here, says, be a witness. Always be aware, what is my mind thinking at this moment? So being a witness is the best way. A witness means one who is watching but is not involved. Like this person watching the parade but is not involved because he doesn't have a son or daughter in the parade. I hope I was able to answer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukh Bhavave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah, Hari Om.